Matthew chapter number 24 this morning, if you find your place, if you're able this morning, let's stand together for a minute for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 24, beginning verse number 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know ye this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If the Lord would help me this morning, I believe I have the mind of the Lord, and I've talked to the Lord, and we've fellowshipped about this in prayer this week. But I want to talk to you on the subject of hypocrites, the deceived and the deceivers. When we look into this scripture this morning, the Word of God says that, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In a simple and the very simple rudimentary definition of the word hypocrite is a play actor or stage actor playing a part. And we stick with that, but there is a far deeper, far more in-depth definition of a hypocrite. But a religious hypocrite are those who profess godly virtues and profess a relationship with Christ that they do not have and they do not possess. They may possess a baptismal certificate. They may possess church membership, but they do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and they do not have a relationship with Christ, and they are a play actor playing a part. A true hypocrite, and I want you to listen to this very closely, a true hypocrite is not only a play actor with the intent of making, I guess, just a ruse or a facade of being religious. But they do that for an express purpose. There's a reason for the ruse. There's a reason for the facade that comes along with it. What is that reason? And here's what I'm getting to, the real deeper definition of a hypocrite is not just to play a part, but it is to play a part for the purpose of covering up what you really are. And I see that so often. I've seen that all of my ministry. I've seen that all of my life, far even earlier than I was ever saved or called into the gospel ministry, the ruse of right, self-righteous, hypocritical, religious hypocrisy. And I, as a pastor, cannot tell you the times that I've seen people come by and shake my hand and tell me they love me and they appreciate me and they appreciate the message, and knowing deep down in my heart they hate my guts. They despise me as much as anything on planet Earth, but they're still going to shake my hand and tell me they love me. I've seen that so often. That is hypocrisy at its highest order. And I've seen that so much, and I know you have too, but true religious hypocrites not only put on an outward face to pretend that they love God, but their ultimate goal is to cover up and prevent others from discovering the true reality that is deep down on the inside. There are multitudes that spend much of their time. I want to talk about the deceived and the deceivers. There are multitudes that spend much of their life, L-O-S-T, lost, unregenerate, without God, but professing themselves to be saved and convinced that they are saved and they are not hypocrites. I spent 13 years from the time I was 12 years old until I was almost 25 years old. I spent 13 years that I was absolutely deceived. I was convinced with every fiber of my mortal being that I was a born-again child of God because I had done everything that I understood in my intellectual cognitive understanding that I was supposed to do to be able to be saved and be a child of God. I came to an altar. I cried. I felt bad. I was sorry for my sins. I prayed. I asked God for forgiveness. I was baptized. I joined the church. And just as sure as there is a hell today, I would have busted it wide open. But I was not a hypocrite. I was deceived. I really thought I was saved. Brother Dan, I was convinced that I knew God when I did not know God. There was no evidence of that in my life. Why? Because I was just deceived. It's so easy to deceive people, especially nowadays. We live in a generation that cannot think for themselves. They absolutely need someone to think for them, someone to act for them. Sister Laura and I were in the former Soviet Union many years ago. The communism ostensibly had just fallen, and we were there, and we were there in the late fall. And they kept telling us there was a time there was no hot water except during specific hours of the day. Why was there no hot water during all the other hours of the day? Because the people had grown so accustomed to the communists turning the water off and on. And they just waited for them to do that. It got cold and we got under those blankets. There's a word for them, but it's actually just a couple of sheets that are sewn together with a hole in the middle. And they just keep stuffing blankets in there so they don't all fall. And we was under blankets so thick you couldn't move. You couldn't even wiggle because you had blankets on you so thick. And I'm thinking, why don't somebody turn the heat on? And they kept telling us everywhere that we went, even out in the country, they told us that just wait until the 30th of October and they'll turn the hot water on and we'll have heat. And I'm thinking these folks have become so accustomed to having someone else think for them and someone else to do for them, they're willing to sit around and freeze to death while they wait on the communists to turn the hot water on. So we're almost at that place in America. We're almost there today where they're going to starve to death standing around waiting on somebody to hand them a check. And we've raised a generation that cannot communicate. They cannot think for themselves. We've got young folks that cannot look you eyeball to eyeball and communicate. If they're not looking at a screen on a telephone, they're lost. They don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, it's easy to deceive people. To be deceived means to be seduced and cause to roam or to err, to wander, or to go astray from safety, from truth, or from virtue. And when you're deceived, that means you have been seduced, caused to roam or to err. But when you become a deceiver, you are the one doing the seducing. And you are the one that causes others to wander, to go astray from safety, truth, and virtue. How in the world do you convince a dead man, Brother C.L., that he's dead? Well, you can't. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. How you convince a dead man he's, how you convince a lost man he's lost? Well, you can't. But see, Hebrews chapter 4 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And did you know that if you sit under the preaching of the word of God long enough, this book will show you where you are? And that's how God shows the dead man he's lost, through that living word of God. And there are multitudes that are lost, that they just need to be shown that they're lost by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I preach the way I preach, because the gospel will show a dead man what condition he's in. And not only will it show him the condition he's in, it has the power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his word, when Jairus' daughter had fallen dead, the Lord Jesus went to that lifeless young lady and said, Talitha kumi, which is to say, damsel, arise. And what did she do? She got up. There's power in the word of God to resurrect a dead soul of a dead man. There's a lot of folks that sit in the church today that are deceived by the doctrines of devils, but the word of God can set them free. There is a profound difference this morning between being deceived and being a deceiver. In being deceived and being a deceiver, if you're deceived, a lot of people, through their innocence and through their ignorance, they just don't know better, are deceived. But when you see someone become a deceiver, what you begin to see is their influence on others. There are two simple reasons I'll give you before I give you my alliteration this morning. Two simple reasons you need to study hypocrites. And number one is to recognize them when you see them, so you will not be deceived and be destroyed by them. You need to know what you're looking at when you're looking at one. And the other reason is to keep you from becoming one. I'll give you some alliteration words and we'll go to the house. Number one is the path of the hypocrite. The path of the hypocrite. Hypocrites were not born hypocrites. They were not always hypocrites. They became hypocrites. The fall of man is the reason that you're lost, or anyone's lost, is because of the fall of man. But to remain lost, there comes a day when you must resist the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God. There comes a day, if you stay lost, you have to build a wall between you and that invitation of the Holy Ghost of God. And the path of hypocrisy begins when God enlightens you to profound spiritual truth. And then you begin to resist the truth that God's given you. Can I say to you this morning that the inherent danger of playing the part of a child of God is for you to play so long that you convince so many people, that you dig that hole so deep that P-R-I-D-E and Satan will tell you you can never back out. And oft times, rather than to humiliate himself publicly and back out, a man will transition from being deceived to being a deceiver. When we saw God begin to move in the Flint Hill Revival, there was a precious, precious young lady. She always sat in the very back on that side because she had a small child. Young married couple, just a precious, precious couple, and I love them dearly. And I watched her go through a period of time that God dealt with her heart. And finally, one Sunday morning, this one of the sweetest, most precious young mothers, just a humble little old girl, busted out from that pew, and she ran down and she knelt on this side of the altar. She wept with a brokenness and poured her heart out to God and trusted Christ as her Savior that morning. When that young lady stood up, when she began to testify and tell the church, she said, God has dealt with me over and over again. And she said, I've been in torment for weeks. I don't even know how long I've been tormented, that God has shown me that I'm lost and that I'm unregenerate and that I need help. And she said, I would think, Lord, if I could, she said, I go through torment all week long. And she'd think, Lord, if I could just get back to church, and God, if there's another invitation, I'll come. And she said, I go back to church, and during invitation time, she said, for some reason, God wasn't drawing. And she said, I felt so empty. And she thought, my soul, God's not calling me, and I'm going to have to go through another week of what I've been going through. And God was literally breaking that young lady down to the point that God was making her where she was able to crawl out of that hole of hypocrisy that she had already dug for herself by being so religious and being sweet and humble and all the good attributes you could think of for a young mother. And this is what she testified. She said, when God showed me I was lost, she said, I could not admit it to myself. How on earth am I going to admit this to anybody else? Satan will empower you and embolden you to resist the truth and to argue with God. But Satan can only reinforce what you already desire in your heart. When God leaves a man alone, they do not know God and they cannot find God, then the devil tells you the only thing you have left to do is just pretend. What's the common vernacular of the day? Fake it till you make it. Fake it. Pretend. And this is the pathway to hypocrisy. There is the path of hypocrisy. There is the pain of hypocrisy. The pain of hypocrisy is reserved for the pretenders that say they have great peace. And they pretend they have fellowship with God. And they pretend they have a relationship with Christ. Yet they have no witness of the Holy Ghost. And in the deepest and darkest recesses of their depraved human heart, secretly they live in a twisted, tormented world of loneliness and emptiness that's filled with religious duties and religious busyness. But there is no joy. There is no peace. And it looks pretty good on the outside, and they wear it well. But Jesus said, you're whited sepulchres. But inside you're full of dead men's bones. Men say they have peace and they have no peace. And men say they have joy and they have no joy. And yet when they're confronted by someone who's real, someone who walks in the reality of the fullness of a relationship with Christ, they'll wind up in a place they'll despise them and they'll hate them in their heart. Child of God, have you ever wondered why some people hate you and they don't have a reason to hate you? I can tell you why. They're jealous because you've got something they only say they've got. And I watched a leader in a church I pastored years and years ago. And I watched my wife full of joy, my wife get full of God. If you've ever been around my wife, she just has fun, and she learned that there was a day she came to the realization she could be who she was for the glory of God. She did not let men put her in bondage to being the model pastor's wife. She just could be who she was for the glory of God and have joy living the life she lived. And this man in the church that had several rank and titles and positions in the church, and I watched him get under conviction, and he finally came to me at one time and tried to confide in me as best he could, but he just couldn't bring himself to come out and say, I'm lost. And I watched that man reach a place he literally despised my precious wife. He hated her. Why? Because he said he had joy, but when he saw hers, it made him see what a hypocrite and what a liar he really was. I see the pain of the hypocrite. I see the poison of hypocrisy. In Proverbs 11, verse number 9, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Matthew 23, 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Luke 11, 44 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are graves. Your graves, which appear not, and that men walk over them, are not aware of them. Did you know that a hypocrite today can ruin the lives of the innocent and of the ignorant? They almost ruined Sister Lori and I. Because we were involved in church as teenagers and young people, and I'm just going to call it like it is. I'm just going to call it like it is. I never remember a time God ever showing up in that church. I never remember a time of the Holy Ghost ever coming by, showing me I was lost, rebuking me of my sin. God just wasn't around. But I do remember some deacons that were hypocrites of the highest order. I remember as a teenage boy, wasn't interested in God. I went to church to see girls. I caught me the best looking one in the crowd. That's what I went to church for. I was lost. I might as well be honest. I wasn't going because I wanted to hear the preaching. And I remember going through that church and getting tired of what's going on in the building and going through the basement and pilfering around and making my way outside and coming outside and seeing one of the deacons standing on the front porch sucking a cigarette and another one sitting in his car listening to the car race. Well, they didn't care what was going on in there either. Well, I'll just be honest with you, there wasn't much going on in there. But they realized it. They'd rather just go listen to the car race. Miss Stephanie, I almost let those people drag me to hell with them. I almost let those people drag me to hell with them. Because when you're a hypocrite, you wind up having influence on others when you are the deceiver. You're the one who allures and seduces other people to say, hey, I can cuss, I can drink a few beers, I can look at a little pornography, but I'm saved, I'm a child of God. And then other people look at you, and they say, well, if they're saved, hey, I mean, y'all not ignorant. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm trying to say. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your children with your hypocrisy, because you can go from being deceived to being the deceiver, and you can ruin your children. You can lead them down the way. Hey, listen, you can watch. You may not think anybody's paying attention, but mama, your children are watching. They're watching a whole lot closer than you realize. Daddy, they're watching. And I'm almost through, and I'm going to quit here in a minute, but I'm going to talk to you about the pride of the hypocrite. Matthew 6, verse number 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I found in these 3 decades plus of ministry that hypocrites love to be stroked and love to be recognized, and they will give life and limb for the cause of Christ, as long as you'll pat them on the back and tell everybody about it. They also love to tear down others to make themselves look better. Matthew 7, verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. One thing about hypocrites, they're always wanting to straighten somebody else out. They're always wanting to fix somebody else's problem because that's a smoke screen to keep you from seeing their problems. Have you noticed that there are certain political parties today that instead of answering a simple question, they always want to deflect the question and never tell you the answer, but they just want to jump on somebody else and start cussing them for what they're doing? They just can't answer the question. Well, that's what's going on there too. They love to complain about how hard they've got it and how everything's against them and everybody's against them. They get martyr syndrome. They get to feeling like the reason they're going through such hard times is the devil's fighting them, and they don't realize it's just their own stupid choices. They've just made some bad choices along the way, and they think the devil's fighting them all the time. They become spiritual hypochondriacs. You know what hypochondriacs are. You know the folks that's always sick all the time, and they got all this, everything's wrong with them. And I've said this before, but it's true. You know, you say, I got a corn on my little toe. They say, I got bunions big as an apple. You know, you say, I believe I'm coming down with a cold. They say, I got the flu so bad I'm about to die. It don't matter what they're going through. And then you hang around folks like that, and they become so hypochondriacal, and they become so theatrical about the thing that it just don't matter, and they're so influenced by that, and they think that somehow that's getting them some sympathy from somebody. My old buddy Gene, he worked with a feller, and this guy got down cloth for a bunch of ladies who sewed, and he would all time, he spent so much time around them ladies, and he was always, it didn't matter how sick they were, he was sicker than they were. My buddy Gene went by him one day, and he's standing at the water fountain, and he said, Gene, have you got a BC powder or something? He said, yeah, I believe I have. You got a headache? He said, no, my ovaries is killing me. If you ain't careful, you'll make up a whole lot of stupid stuff in your head. There's a whole lot of folks make up a whole lot of stuff in their head, and they'll walk away thinking they're spiritual. They're thinking they know God, and they're deceived. And then they become a deceiver. I'm talking about the pride of the hypocrite, and there's the presence of the hypocrite. Matthew 15, verse number 8, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's real easy for us to stand up and say we love God. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what, when you start to really show where your heart's at, you'll find out there ain't but a precious few that really love God. And one reason, child of God, I've preached so hard and so much on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, so much the reason for the importance for you to get along with God and learn the tender voice of the sweet Holy Spirit of God is so when you get around religious hypocrites, instead of you being confused, you'll know who it is doing the talking. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they do follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. You ever get around a lot of folks talking a bunch of religious mess, and you know you're right with God, and you get confused, you mark it down, you're hearing a different voice. Old man of God, Brother Hanley Milby, Buffalo, Kentucky, Brother Hanley Milby, what such a wonderful man of God, and we were in revival meeting with him many years ago, and there was a pastor's wife in that meeting, Miss Lori. You remember it just like it was yesterday. And I'm talking about several years ago. And in that meeting, there was some kind of weird spirit got loose, and that pastor's wife jumped up, and she started testifying, or like it was testifying, I guess. And before it was through, she was preaching. She was hacking like a Tennessee hacker. And she right back stripped her voice out, and I watched, and Brother Hanley Milby looked at the pastor, and he said, that woman hath a devil. You see, you walk with the Holy Ghost of God, and you have fellowship with God, you don't have that much difficulty discerning times when something's real bad wrong. Sometimes we call it this, Sister Stephanie. We say we want to give people the benefit of a doubt. But if we're not careful, what we're really doing is arguing with the Holy Ghost. Don't you argue with the Holy Ghost. When He shows you there's something wrong, there's something wrong. I'm talking about the presence of the hypocrite, and I'm finished. There is the portion of the hypocrite. Job chapter 27, verse 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? When people play the hypocrite and they gain everything they can gain from it, whether it's the notoriety, whether it's the pats on the back, whether it's the good name in the community, whether it's any of a dozen other things I could mention, but when you've gained the whole world, what about when you've lost your soul? And in our text this morning, Matthew 24:51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to tell you what, you do whatever it is you're going to do, but there'll be a payday. God gives you an opportunity. I'd step on my pride and I'd give up hypocrisy for Christ any day. All of y'all know I was in the music industry before God saved me. And sometimes you do what you got to do to make a living. There was a period of time I taught music, and I laughingly say this quite often, and it was because I couldn't get an appointment for a root canal and I couldn't get a stomach virus, so I just, well, if I can't do nothing fun, I'll teach. And I was teaching music, and I was in a music store one day, and young man came in and had that rock and roll look, you know, Brother Ed. I mean, he had the hair and he had the clothes and, you know, whatever you think a rock and roller is supposed to look like, that's what he looked like. And he was looking at this bass that was for sale in the store, and I didn't take him serious to start with because I knew all the instruments we had were high-class Japanese junk and no real musician was wanting to buy that stuff. And he's looking at this bass, you know, and he's talking all this stuff, and yeah, I'm going to start a band. I got so-and-so who's going to do this, and so-and-so is going to play the drums, and I'm going to play the bass, and I'm going to be the lead singer. And he hemmed and hawed around a few minutes, and he started to walk out, and he walked back in and looked at that bass, and he looked at me and said, "Do you give bass lessons?" Told on himself, didn't he? Well, I tell you what, if you want to pretend to be a rock star, you can go ahead. That's all right. I don't care. You can pretend to be anything you want to be. But if you pretend to be a child of God, you're going to wind up in hell one day. You're going to wind up in hell one day playing the game, learning to talk the talk and act the act. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes down to shoe leather Christianity, there ain't but a few that's ever really going to get in. And you'll find that it won't just be them that talk that big talk. Because it's real easy to talk Christianity. It's real easy to get them T-shirts, you know, "I love Jesus" T-shirts. That don't take a whole lot. But when it comes down to having a relationship with Christ and walking with Him, it's a whole different story. And if folks are not careful, one day they're deceived, and the next day they are the deceiver. Please don't find yourself in that condition. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I love you.